Heavenly Father, bless your word spoken in this church today. May that word reach out into our hearts and our minds and give us strength and fortitude to face what all comes before us and bring us all to your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The last sentence of the reading of Hebrews, the wonderful book, the book of Hebrews, because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Being tested is something which occurs to all of us. We're always being tested. We all know what examinations are, especially the young ones. Do you know what examinations are? Yes. School, university work. But we also have examinations for health and for buildings, examinations for driving. In fact, we're constantly being put to the test. Even shopping. The consumer world we live in, there's so much choice. What do you choose? Which make? Which is the cheapest? Which is economy? You know. So it's a problem these days, and it's a testing for all of us. But there are much more severe testings which take place in our world as of today. And I'm constantly in thought with those in Afghanistan and those in the forces out there. You see the coffins coming home, and you think there's another family bereft. And they're out there trying to keep the peace and trying to keep order. Their testing is far more severe than we shall know about. But testing also brings introspectiveness. We tell ourselves, no one else knows what I'm suffering. I'm suffering so much, you know, no one knows what it's like. But if you say that, if you think that, then you've not read your Bible properly. For what you're saying is that we are so special that Christ's incarnation, remember the bishop's Christmas message, enfleshing, that temptation is not good enough for us. God's message is that Jesus Christ is human, just like us, who went through all the trials and temptations we're ever liable to go through. St. Anselm wrote a lovely, interesting book called Cur Deus Homo, Why Was God Made Man? And just read it. It's a small book. It's full of questions and answers, what we ask very often for ourselves. Did people question Jesus? Of course they did. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, let anyone among you who is without sin first throw the first stone. We know that story very well, the lady committing adultery. She was there with all the people around her, Jesus drawing in the sand. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we are all sinners. We don't want to wallow in remorse, do we? No. And yet, I don't know about you, but in your life, if you go back and say, if only, that's the tragedy. Once you start on that line, if only, it's a spiral descending. It drags you right down. You can't get out of it. You just got to get on with it. And if you're in problems, ring St. Ursula's. And I'm serious about that because there are people here, and there's a great team of people at church, and the talent and potential I've discovered since I've been here will answer your questions. And I see Roy there in the congregation. Roy, good to see you. And down in Neuchâtel. And he will answer your problems for you down there. But the church is there to help people get out of that spiral if you're down there in it. The woman caught in adultery, which is just the same today as it ever was caught. And they said, would Jesus condone the sin and lay himself open to the charge of law-breaking? Or would he condemn the woman and violate his own gospel of love and forgiveness? What was he going to do? They loved it. They've got this man, Jesus. You know, they're going to try and get him. But when all human options are up, finished, God can still act. Corrie ten Boom in Harlem during the war years, she was very strong in her faith and she faced anybody, the enemy, she didn't matter who it was. But one day she was so caught up in this oppression, she said, God, if I can't manage it, you've got to manage it. And she let him take over. So when all options are up, God can still act. At one stroke, Jesus gave that woman committed adultery a new start. and caused all the accusers around about to convict themselves. Who's going to throw the first stone? Who hasn't sinned? What do we learn from it? We cannot test God and get away with it. And secondly, God's love is willing to give a sinner another chance. Remember that Wesley hymn? Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, it turns their hell to heaven. Sometimes we try to bargain with God. What will we do if he does such a thing? That backfires. You can't bargain with God. Because God says in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. And Deuteronomy, do not put the Lord your God to the test. As we come to Lent, that lovely Lenten story, Satan tried and taunted Jesus in the wilderness, but Jesus rounded up upon him and said, get behind me, Satan. If we bargain with God, we are showing allegiance with Satan and not to God. But the woman committing adultery, who was stood there with all these people around, was she free? No. Her sin was known only to God and herself. Which I believe we all have something which God knows about and no one else knows about, but between us and God. And there Jesus comes in between the mediator, between God and the woman's adultery. And so we read in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful to know that? But be careful in quoting from the Bible. And I'll tell you why. Little story. There was a vicar who heard his friends he knew were going to get married. And he wanted to send them a telegram. So he sent a telegram. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Wonderful. But the telegram office omitted the one. And it was John 4:18. And you know that story. Jesus said to her, you are right to say I have no husband. For though you have had five, the one you now have is not your husband. You spoke the truth there. So get your Bible quotations right. The testing goes on in life and labour, pain and joy, happiness. Paul wrote about it in Romans 8:18. We come to the point, can we go on with it? Can we go through with it? Can we brave the pangs and the pain? Little by little, point by point, in God's good time, he will bring us to the place where he wants us to be. Each one of us. We're all individuals, all in different places. The choice is ours. Reject and move forward in freedom of faith, or cling on and forfeit an opportunity for advancement, which may not be repeated. Sometimes the requirement is simple enough, but tough enough in steps to be taken. The beggar who was embraced by an embarrassingly penniless Dostoevsky replied he had been given more than any money could buy. Dostoevsky grabbed this big beggar, embraced him, and for him that was more than any money could buy. And you can't buy love. St. Ursula's, this body of Christ, may you continue to build up in spite of any divisions or tensions that arise or what appear to be insuperable obstacles. Remember, you are called by God. This is home to many, many people, and a home based upon love. And if Jesus Christ were not the foundation stone, the church would have disappeared long, long ago. We do great work by the activity of each one of you and by the grace of God. And yet there is still one aspect missing. Ecumenical. Protestant, Catholic, Old Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, Charismatic. Yes, we all have our differences. But are we speaking to each other? Are we uniting and joining with each other? Are we doing things with each other? But that needs somebody with a gift of languages. Now, many of you are very gifted. I am just a lazy person who speaks English. I'm still at the Tower of Babel, where it's all confusion. But you have the Holy Spirit, which joins the everybody together, and you understand each other, and you can listen to the languages. Harmony. So perhaps that testing is still with us, and will be with us in the new year. We must look forwards and outwards. We must learn, like children, to value what cannot be priced in the world's stock markets. For me, it's been a privilege to be here with you all and to work with Linda, to see her back here this morning. It's been a great privilege. She will help you carry through the interregnum until Bishop Michael comes. And Linda and Walter, we carry you in our prayers as you go off to Ireland together. May God bless you, give you strength and health. But to meet all the people we've met here has been wonderful, and Bern is a lovely city, and I thank Trudy for being with me. She's made it, really, as any woman does, makes it possible for the best to be achieved. We all go our different ways, colleges, universities, work, and I shall enjoy reading about the new appointment. May that new appointment be for you a new chapter in the life of this church. May he or she lead you onwards to where you never knew you'd ever go. Because that's what happens to us. We hold on to a hand and we're led wherever we don't want to go. I held my wife's hand, she took me to places I never even thought of or dreamed of. But that's life. So may God bless you all in this year to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless all those travelling over this old and new year. For the things behind us, we look forward to the new. For those who have gone before us and on a farther shore, God, bless them as they bathe in a radiant light of your kingdom. Give us strength to go forward with hope and encouragement that all lies before us. The path is open. And all it needs is our one step forwards. So God, grant us that step forwards in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.